Thank you all so much for being in our group tonight. And it was such a wonderful opportunity last night. I enjoyed myself immensely, and I would hope that all of you that were here last night did the same. I had counted those from the pulpit, and I had come up with 91, and one of the ladies from over at West 5th said I missed it. She said there were 93. She counted twice. 93 is what she finally concluded. So, but anyway, it was a large crowd from Menlo, and I'm very thankful for that and thankful for the opportunity to have had to preach the gospel to those people. Tonight we're going to look at something that I feel like is very serious. And I want you to think about it with me from the direction of where we're going with it. We're going to talk about the prayers of Jesus. You'll remember that in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, we find there when the disciples had asked the Lord to teach them to pray. Everybody always says to me, they say, you know, that's the Lord's Prayer, and that it is. I'm not going to argue that point. A great many people have said that that is truly the model prayer. I believe it's a good prayer. I wouldn't argue that fact either. Whenever you consider that prayer, though, and when that prayer, and in the context of that prayer, when Jesus had brought that prayer before those people, there were certain things that had not yet occurred. One of those things in particular was that the church had not yet been established. The kingdom had not come. Therefore, there was a little bit of difference in those things that you read in that model prayer. Nevertheless, I believe that is a good way to learn to pray, but by the time I'm finished tonight, I think that you will see more of how Jesus taught us to pray than ever before. If you have your Bibles with you, you might want to turn with me as we begin our study tonight, the prayers of Jesus. What does Jesus teach us actually in our prayers? First of all, I'd like to suggest to you that I would hope that everybody in this room has prayed often, that you've prayed today, that you've prayed more than one time today. You know, I make a common practice when I wake in the morning to begin the day with a prayer. I also make a common practice whenever we close out in the afternoon, my wife and my son, we close the day with a prayer. And I would hope that all of you do the same. I encourage you to pray as often as you possibly can and communicate with our Lord as often as you have opportunity. But our Lord did something very, very special when He showed us His prayers. And so that's what I'm going to investigate with you tonight, is the Lord's prayers. We began our quest in Matthew chapter 14 and at verse 23. There was a great multitude, if you will, that had come before the Lord, and the Lord had been preaching, and they had waxed on, and He had fed several thousand people. You remember that time. And the Lord was tired, and He was weary, and there was no doubt of the time whenever the Lord would begin a quest. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 14 and at verse 23, as He sent the multitudes away, they crossed over the body of water. Then He went up into a high mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, and He was there alone. Jesus shows us, first of all, in our very first point of the evening, Jesus shows us the necessity to be focused in prayer. How was it that Jesus would show us this? He would go out and He would find a very special place. He would go up upon the mountain, and there He would be alone. There's a reason He would do that. It was to focus Himself in prayer. I don't know how it is with you, but around my house, the television, most of the time, for some reason or another, it seems to be blaring all the time. We come in the afternoon, maybe Matthew or some of his little buddies that have come by, you know, they've got the television on. But whenever there's time to pray, the television's cut off. And all other things in the house is removed from the standpoint of distraction. And I want to encourage you by telling you that Jesus has taught us something very special. We began to look at our Lord here, and He stays focused. He went up into that high mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, He was there alone, and He began His prayer. You know, and I'm awful sure in the things that I'm talking to you about tonight that we need to be more focused in our praying to our Lord. You know, sometimes there are distractions, and I don't know about you, but as I grow older, you know, and after reaching a half a century and then moving on beyond, and we begin to realize that our focal points are not near as sharp as they used to be. And sometimes there are things that distract us somewhat from the ordinary. But I think in our praying, we need to do as Jesus did. The supreme example of all, and there was not a greater, and there will never be another example like that of Jesus. Our point number one this afternoon is that Jesus was so very sober-minded, without outside interference in his praying. As he went up into the mountain, and there he was alone, he began his praying. For a long, long time, that was a very special place to me as I was growing up around the house where I lived. It was a place where I used to go myself, and I used to pray, and pray intently as a small boy. Most especially I prayed because most of you well know that my father's an alcoholic and was for many, many years, and a very violent sort of a fellow. And a lot of times I spent in prayer praying about my dad and the things that he was wreaking with his family. But there was a very special place, and it still remains very special today, even today, after all of these years. So I want to encourage you, maybe you have a very special place. And if you don't, I think that it wouldn't be anything wrong with finding somewhere where you feel comfortable to go and just have a little time, aside from everything else, and go to God in prayer. Jesus did just that. Our second point of the evening. We began to look at Jesus from the standpoint that Jesus has shown us something else about his praying. Jesus shows us the need to offer thanks for a very important necessity of life. If you think about it, I wonder how many of us actually do sit down on occasion to a meal. And without thought, we begin the eating process. Not thinking about where that food come from or how we got there or anything about the contributing facts of being able to partake of that food. You know, we've kind of made it a common practice around the house, you see, and in other places too, and even out in public, that we always bow our head, and if nothing else, we say just a short prayer before partaking of the food. I wonder how many of you have that common practice around your house. It ought to be that it's done each and every time that there is food served up. Well, in fact, our Lord, as he began to teach us not only of the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, but of teaching us the very special things about his praying, he's already shown us that he could go off and become so very intently focused on the things that he would pray to his Father about in Matthew 14:23. But then we read something here in Matthew 15:36 about Jesus as well. Consider, if you will, and the Bible said, and he took the seven loaves, you'll remember this story, and he took the seven loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks. And he broke them. Did you get that? And he gave thanks, and he broke them. You know, I think about one time in particular when we were out at a restaurant. And the food was served up, and my boy was just a little small boy, and he said, "Dad, we've got to say our blessing." So we all bowed our head and we said our prayer. Then there was an elderly lady not too far across the aisle that got up and came over. And she said, "I just want to commend you." She said, "In the fact that you bowed your head and said your prayer before you partook of the meal." But she said, "More so than that, the young man is who reminded you that prayer was to be made before you partook of your food." And she thought that to be very special. I thought it to be something that the Lord required of us, that we teach all of us how important it is, even Jesus in his teaching, in his prayers. He taught us how important it is to bow our heads and to give thanks, even here as we see Jesus giving thanks for the food, even before the food was served up. You see, Jesus teaches us so very much in his supreme example. There's another thing that I want to show you tonight about Jesus' prayer. Jesus shows us the importance of those inclusive when sometime we expect God to anyway. You know, there are just certain things that we just know that God's going to be all right with, and we expect that of God. You know, that's just the human side of us. We just expect God to bless little children. They call them such as the kingdom of heaven. And every one of us in this room sort of take that, if you will, for granted sometimes. To think about that God is just going to bless those precious, precious little children. And that he is. There's no arguing that. But you see, Jesus, even himself in his prayers, has taught us of the importance of even the inclusive things sometimes that we might ought to go ahead and thank God for anyway, even in our prayers, even if we expect God to be that way. Consider, if you will, as we begin to study in Matthew chapter 19 and at verse 13. We begin to see Jesus there, and some of those would bring to Jesus some little children. The disciples would bring these little children to Jesus, and the disciples saw that there were those that was coming there, and they were bringing these little babies to Jesus, and they began to rebuke these people. You see, these people were bringing these little children so that Jesus could pray them, pray over them, and touch them. But the disciples didn't like that. Then it was Jesus that spoke up. And he said, suffer little children, they be brought unto me. And then the passage says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 13, then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Even though Jesus knew how God was about little children. Well, in fact, the latter end of that verse says, of such is the kingdom of heaven. There's nothing greater than that of a small child. Nothing any purer than that of a small child. And Jesus knew quite well that God himself, he had placed these little children here in a very special way, and he would bless them regardless. But you see, Jesus teaches us a very important lesson here. He said, sometimes even when we expect God to do it anyway, let's go ahead and make a prayer known to the Lord in thanksgiving. So Jesus didn't take that as an excuse not to. He just went ahead and done it anyway. Such is the kingdom of heaven. So you see, Jesus in his teaching, in his prayers, he's teaching us not only of being focused in our praying. He's not only teaching us of the necessities to sometimes give thanks even for the simple things like that of the food that we partake of. But he's teaching us in a very special way in his prayers that sometimes just whenever we expect God to do it anyway, we ought to give thanks and we ought to pray. We ought to pray in that capacity. But then I've got to be serious with you for a period of time here about Jesus' praying. When you begin to focus on Jesus and his life and the short period of time that he lived on this earth, and all of the terrible things that Jesus had happened to him at the end of the way, you began to see Jesus in a very special way. Jesus gave the example of prayer even in a distressed situation. Now, I don't know about you, but whenever we become distressed, whenever things are not going right, and maybe your life is not this way, but I think for the most part, most people's lives are. Not everything goes the way that we would like for it to sometimes. And you know, on occasion there are going to be some hard, hard times that come our way. There are going to be some emotional strain that comes our way. And sometimes our heart is going to break, and sometimes there are going to be some things that just really worry us. You ever been to the point where you couldn't even lay down and have a good night's rest because your mind was in such distress over something that might have been affecting you in some way or another? You see, Jesus had been in this situation, and Jesus knew without doubt of where he needed to be when he was in this situation. I'm going to show you a very dear picture of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 through 39. You know, I've had people challenge me on the fact that the Bible said Jesus was in all points tempted like if we were, yet without sin. I believe there's nothing in this whole world that Jesus doesn't know about. I believe there's not a feeling in this whole world that we could ever feel, an emotion or anything else, that Jesus doesn't know about. Now, whether or not you think that, the Bible does tell us that he was in all points like as we were tempted, yet without sin. So I believe with all of my heart there's nothing that Jesus doesn't know about the distresses and the strains and the emotions and the heartaches that we experience from time to time in our lives. So I see Jesus in a very special way. We begin the reading there in verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane. You remember that in the context of the Scripture, it's not long until Jesus is going to be crucified. He knows of the distress of what's going to happen. He knows he's going to be killed. He knows literally that he's going to be murdered. Can you think about that if you knew for just one moment that you were within a day or a day and a half of having your life taken from you? But what if you knew that within a day or a day and a half, or just a very short period of time here, you were going to be nailed to a cross and literally murdered in cold blood? Consider, if you will, the distress that Jesus, you know, Jesus was just at this point in time in his life, he's a human being. He has a heart and he has a mind and he has a soul within him. He understands pain. He understands the emotions. He understands all of the terribleness of what's about to take place with him. Now my point is tonight, the prayers of Jesus, what does Jesus teach us about? Did you know that there's a lot of people out there that during their distressed times, they don't even know where to go. They don't even know how to pray. I remember quite well, and you might have heard me say this before in some of the gospel meetings that I've preached in. There was an occasion whenever there was a small boy. He'd been run over by a car. And he was just at the point of death. Just about every bone in the little fellow's body had been broken. His mom and his dad was there. His grandmother, his grandfather was there. And I went down to visit with him. And I walked in the room. And the man jumped up and he ran across the room. And he just grabbed me with all of his might. And he said, "Preacher, you've got to pray. We don't know how." He said, "You've got to pray. We don't know how." I'll never forget that as long as I live. I would hate to know that I was in a distressed situation where my small boy was at the point of death and I didn't know how to go to my God in prayer. I didn't know how to take advantage of the distressed situation to go to my God and relieve myself in prayer. Consider, if you will, that Jesus is teaching us in a very special way here. It was almost his time. It was almost the time of being put to death. And the Bible said, he went to Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, "Sit ye here. Sit ye here for a while." And this is something very sad. He said, "While I go yonder and pray." You know, he said, "Y'all stand back. Y'all stay here. I've got to go out there and I've got to focus myself because I've got to talk to my Father." You see, the distress was of such nature that he didn't even want those that he was nearest and dear to on this earth to be with him at this period of time in his life. Have you ever had a situation where you just thought that you might have to be alone for a little while? Just needed a little time to yourself so you could go off and talk to God about it. You know, this is where Jesus was in his life. "Sit ye here while I go yonder and pray." And then he teaches us something very important as we move on in the scripture here. He went a little farther, the Bible said, and he fell upon his face. Can you see the distress in our Lord? As he falls upon his face, oh, he's distressed, he's emotionally strained, he knows of all of the terribleness of what's about to take place with him, and he falls upon his face. And I remember very well in leading the prayer in that hospital room when the grandfather just fell flat out into the floor and stretched out on the floor. And he said, "Preacher, God can't let the little fellow go. We just can't let him go." You see, there can come a time in our life when the distress is of such nature that we might want to fall flat out on our face like the Lord Jesus is teaching us here in our prayer. Not only as he fell out on his face here in the Bible, he prayed. And he said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless," he said, "not as I will, but as thou wilt." There's something very special about those words. "Not as I will, but as thou wilt." Did you ever think about how important it is in our prayers to our Lord that we make sure and understand with that in our praying that it is the Lord's will that's done, not ours? "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man doth avail much, but in all of that, it must be in accordance to the will of our Lord in prayer." Jesus goes on. When he proclaims, "Thy will be done." The Bible said he went again the second time and he prayed. And he said, "Oh my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, Thy will be done." He's coming to the point where he knows assuredly of the things going to take place. But you see, he continues in prayer. It's just like a lot of times people will say, you know, the doctor's only given so-and-so just a few weeks to live. And then there'll be those that'll say, I don't think there's much need anymore to pray. It's just going to happen. It's just going to take place. There's just not any reason. No, no. There's never a time to stop. Never a time to give it up. Never a time to quit asking. You see, even Jesus, as he's teaching us very, very openly here of how to do it, he went again the second time. And then we began to read something else very special about this passage. The Bible said, and he left them and he went again and he prayed even the third time, saying the same words. Sometimes what's wrong with asking God more than one time? Oh, I pray diligently as my father lays in the hospital even at this very moment in time. He's 74 years old. He's not a member of the Lord's church. Not a Christian. I prayed for over 50 years that someday my dad would become a Christian. I'm not going to quit. Now, if he dies tonight or he dies tomorrow or the next day, but I'm not going to quit. You see, the Lord Jesus has taught us something very important. He continued in a distressed situation to pray over and over and over again to God, even though he knew the will of his Father. And he knew he had to die upon that cross. He continued in prayer. There's something else Jesus taught us. Jesus shows us of the priority in prayer of where we need to be. In Mark chapter 1 and at verse 35, we see Jesus, and the Bible said, in the morning, rising up a great while before day. Did you get that part of it? Rising up a great while before day, he went out and he departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. Jesus shows us in this picture the priority of where we need to be. You see, he got up even before day, and the very first thing was that he went out to a solitary place and he prayed. There's no better time to me in all of my life than to get up before day when everything is still quiet, when things are not moving about, when all of the stresses and the strains of the day's activities, it hasn't gotten there yet. We begin that day with prayer. You ever had an opportunity to get up and see the sunrise, you know, and you look at the beautiful spectacle of the Lord's light of day as it brings the light to the day? You know what? What magnitude just to think about all the things that God has blessed us with. Why not begin our day just as Jesus did, very early in the morning with prayer? I can remember very well, and many of you have heard me talk about him, Grandpa Murphy was probably the greatest of all men that I've ever known as far as a gospel preacher. And I've known some of the very best, Brother Gus Nichols, Brother B.B. Black, some of those old patriarchs of the Lord's church. But Grandpa was very special, not because he was called Grandpa by me, but there was not a time when you went to his house when you didn't find him either reading his Bible or in prayer. You could go very early in the morning, even find yourself that he was an early riser, you know, because he went to bed even before dark came. But he got up way before day, sat out on the porch with a little light, read his Bible. But even before that time, he began his day with prayer. Oh, and I saw it so many times as I passed by going to work, and there he'd be sitting on his porch, reading his Bible, or with his head bowed in prayer. You see, Jesus has shown us something very special. Jesus not only taught his disciples in that model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, but he's taught us something in his life, in the example that he put before us in his prayers. Not only did Jesus show us the priority of where we need to be as he rose up early in the morning, but he showed us something else. As our time is moving by us tonight, I must pick up the pace just a little bit. But Jesus points us from the beginning to prayer. You remember that in Luke chapter 3 and at verse 21. Of course, all of us understand why Jesus was baptized. It was not for the remission of sins, but rather to fulfill the Scripture. But you see, Eve had been in there whenever the Bible said Jesus also being baptized and praying. Did you get that part? Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. Jesus didn't even forget at this period of time in his life to pray, and the heavens were open. So you see, Jesus even points us from the very beginning to that of prayer. You know what a wonderful thing it is. Just last Lord's Day, I was able to baptize two people into Christ down there at the church. One an older man, one a young child. But you know, my thoughts was, we've got to pray, because this is something of such magnificence. Just to think about that a little boy would obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and understood it very well, he did. And the older fellow being around the church for all that many years and never having obeyed the gospel, and then and there, he wanted to obey the gospel. What better thing to do than after submerging them into that watery grave of baptism and them being raised up to walk in newness of life, but to go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. In prayer. Because even that's what Jesus showed us in his picture of his prayers as he lived upon this earth. Jesus was baptized and then began with prayer, and the heavens were opened. And then we find in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 32, Jesus gave some very specifics that needs our attention. Jesus was one of those people, the number one person of all, that gave us some very special specifics in prayer. Whenever we think about Jesus, the Bible said, Luke 22, verse 32, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. I don't know how it is in many places, but I've been a lot of places and preached the gospel in a lot of different congregations. Some of them very large, some of them very small. But I know, too, that I'm seeing a lot of things out there that I really don't understand about the Lord's church anymore. There are a lot of things going on that's not scriptural anymore. You find a lot of things that people are doing that's just not written there in the pages of the book. And some of those things definitely are questionable things to be a part of. One of the things that I try to stress the more is that we need to be praying for all of our congregations. We need to be praying for the church as a whole throughout all of our nation and throughout all of our world. You see, a lot of times we forget to pray outside our own congregation. Do you ever consider how important not only our own congregation is, but how important the other congregations round about in the immediate area, and then those that are reaching far out, and then those that are in foreign lands, the church everywhere. How important is that? That's the Lord's church. There needs to be prayer made for the Lord's church. In every capacity, there needs to be prayer made for the Lord's church. You know, it was heart-sickening to me to listen as I heard in a preacher's meeting not too long ago of the congregations that were, they were just quitting. They were just stopping. Just wasn't anything going on anymore. It had just gotten down to just a few folks, and things just couldn't go on, and they were just stopping. You know, that's a heart rendering situation to be in. Think about for a moment how important our prayers are when we know that there are congregations out there like this. We need not to forget those people. Jesus showed us a very special picture here when he said, I prayed for thee. I know the context very well. He said, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And then he says, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if this cup, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. There appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. The Bible says, being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Remember hearing very well of a very educated man who had studied a great deal longer than I've been able to study in my life, a lot older man than I am, and he said, this is humanly possible. He said, it's been studied and it's been proven that a person can become so stressed and in such agony that even they can begin openly bleeding from their outside pores of the skin. He said, I believe Jesus with all of my heart was in such agony here and such distress that notably this is not something of a figurative nature. This was probably literal from the standpoint that Jesus actually did. You know, when you think about it, Jesus was in such a way distressed here, but He was not in such a way that He didn't forget those that were there with Him. He was praying that their faith fail not. There's a reason behind that. We need to be careful always to pray for the faith of all of our brethren. I know some that need a lot of prayers because their faith is not very strong. I know that there are some out there that they just automatically can become offended at such little things that they'll just walk away from the church and not even darken the door ever again. Some of those people out there, you have to just put such close-knit gloves around just to keep them coming long enough that they can learn. You all know what I'm talking about. There are some that are steadfast and unmovable and always abound in the work of the Lord, while the others, well, they're very weak in the faith. And they need our prayers. And Jesus didn't forget, even in the situation that He was in, to forget to pray for their faith. He prayed that their faith failed them not. Jesus showed us something else very quickly here. He exemplified to us the fulfillment of the ability to pray for our enemies. I don't know, but I've been told, and Grandpa always said, the mark of a real Christian was whenever they could literally bow their heads and they could legitimately, seriously commit themselves to prayer for their enemy. I don't know if you've considered your enemy or not. Some of you may think that you don't have any enemies in this life. But I'll assure you, you really do. There are enemies out there. The old devil himself, he walks about as a roaring mighty lion, seeking whom he may devour. I'm not advocating in any way, shape, form, or fashion that we pray for that enemy there. What I am advocating is that we pray for those enemies even tonight. If we listen to our good brothers, he led our prayer, and he was talking about our men and women, our soldiers. You know, we have enemies today that would want to come over here and kill each and every one of us in this country. And we've, thanks be to God, got men and women that care enough to go over there and fight those people to try to keep those things from happening. Consider, if you will, that we do have a number of enemies. Now, how is it that we learn to pray for our enemies? We look at the picture of Jesus, and Jesus has shown us very explicitly here, and He exemplifies to us how important that really is. You remember the time, and the Bible says in Luke chapter 23 and at verse 34, then said Jesus, "Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You remember that this was the time whenever they were actually crucifying our Lord. And Jesus had cried out to God, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You never considered those people? They were truly the enemy of the Lord. They were the people who had decided to take and to crucify the Son of God. They were truly His enemy. But did He forget to pray? No, He didn't. He cried out to God and He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I remember quite well in reading a book that a young man gave to me about General Schwarzkopf. You all remember General Schwarzkopf. And in that book, I read a little place in there where General Schwarzkopf, before the very first Iraq war, he went into his quarters the night before the war was to begin. And he said he cried, and he said he prayed all night long. And he said not only did he pray for his soldiers that he knew was going into battle, and some of them would lose their life, but he prayed for all of those enemy soldiers that was out there. Because he knew they were going into battle and they were going to lose their life as well. See, the Lord gives us a very, very good picture of what we need to be about in our prayers. You ever thought about even praying for your enemy? You know, there are those out there that sometimes we may not look at them as our enemy, but truly they are, and they definitely need our prayers. And so we see something about Jesus that exemplifies the fulfillment of the ability to pray for our enemies. We have two more points of the evening, and then the lesson will be yours. Let's look at Jesus as He shows humility. He shows us humility to being heard. In John chapter 11 and verse 41, there's something about Jesus and His praying here that most people will overlook. But Jesus lifted up His eyes and He said, "Father, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, he said, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, Jesus did that in a particular moment because he wanted to humble himself to the point that the people would know truly what he was all about. When he simply said, Father, I thank you that you've even heard me. I wonder how many of us have ever really thought about God and how precious it is that we could pray through the Lord Jesus and God hear us in our prayer. You know, there are a great many things that I'm sure you've had to pray for before, and some of those things meant a lot to you, and some of them may have just been things that you were talking about and communicating with God about, but some of those things you sincerely committed yourself to and you wanted surely that God would hear you. I wonder if sometimes we don't forget just to say something like, thank you, God, for listening to me. Thank you, God, for hearing me in my prayers. You know, that's a very, very important part of what Jesus would teach us in praying. There's something else tonight, last and final thing of the evening. I think something that Jesus taught us about prayer, when he offered up a prayer with strong crying and strong tears. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard and that he feared. Jesus taught us something else about praying, last and final. The seriousness of those prayers, even to the point of great tears. Even to the point, the Bible said, with much crying. Even to the point, with so much commitment in our praying. I can remember very well, not understanding as a little boy, as a man named Luther Barron, old brother Luther Barron. Some of you may have known Luther Barron, but he's been dead now for about 40 years. And I remember every time he was called upon for prayer, he just almost couldn't get through his prayer for crying. And I thought, this is troubling. You know, I was a little boy, I never understood that. But as I grew older, as I understood and studied and learned, I understood sometimes the crying in our prayers. I understand the fears sometimes in our prayers. That's what Jesus taught us. You see, the picture we have is not just that Matthew 6 that we talked about, but the picture we have is so much more. So many things that we see Jesus in prayer. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you, take advantage of this opportunity at hand. The Lord wants you to be a Christian, and I want you to be a Christian. And I would hope that you want to be a Christian. If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can very well do that this very afternoon. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We establish our faith in hearing the gospel preached. We believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God with all of our heart in John 8, verse 24. Except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. We must have a change of attitude, change of heart, change of mind. We must repent. Tomorrow night we will talk about the fullness of repentance. It's a good lesson. I put much into it. But repentance is something very important. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. I don't like the choices there. There's only one, to either repent or to perish. Consider, if you will, the confession is made with the mind. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So as we read those verses of Scripture there, and we understand automatically that we must confess Jesus. Matthew 10:32 tells us, unless we confess Jesus before men, he'll not be able to confess us before his Father, which is in heaven. And I surely do, as we expressed last night, I want him to know me. And I would hope that you want him to know you as well. After having confessed Christ with our mouth, we must be buried in baptism for the remission of our sins and allow the Lord to add us to the church. Become a child of his. Live faithful unto death and go to heaven when this life is over. Oh, but yes, as an adult, we will experience sin in our lives. Whenever that comes, you have the avenue of repentance. You have the avenue of the precious blood of Jesus Christ as it cleanses us from all sin. So then and there, if after the fact we mess up, and I wonder how many of us have messed up before. Have you ever had that happen to you? You know, on occasion, there's so many of our brethren, you know, that just have so much pride sometimes in their lives, they just forget that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, we're all human beings, and they're evil thoughts and evil things and evil ways, and there are things that sometimes they just get a hold to us, you know, and we get caught up in those things. And whenever those things happen, thanks be to God that we have the avenue of repentance. We have the avenue of forgiveness. We have that precious blood of Jesus Christ as it cleanses us from sin. If you're here tonight and you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now while together we stand and sing?
Okay, you stand and